Hey, all you pet stylists. You found the Groom Pod. Welcome to our virtual salon. My name is Susie, and I'm your host. I'm a mobile groomer from Seattle, Washington, and anyone who knows me will tell you I love to talk, especially about my job. One of my favorite people to talk to is my friend and mentor and star of the show from Tucson, Arizona, and groomblog.blogspot.com, Miss Barbara Bird.
Hello, groomers, and hi, Susie. What's up this week?
Hi, Barbara. Welcome to episode 123 of the Groom Pod, recorded on May 28th, 2017, in Snohomish, Washington, and Tucson, Arizona. This week, we're going to talk about speed versus perfection. We're going to learn a little bit about shea butter, which is because I asked, and we'll talk about reverse clipping. So you can join the discussion by finding us on Facebook at facebook.com/group/thegroompod. You can subscribe to The Groom Pod on Stitcher, on iTunes, on Google Play, and pretty much anywhere else you get podcasts. And you can find all things Groom Pod related, including the Amazon banner and the donation button where you can tip your host at www.thegroompod.com. Remember to share us with all your grooming buddies and support our fabulous sponsors. What's new this week? Brought to you by Barbara's Shopping Site. Shop for specialty grooming items at www.shop.bbird.biz. Shop with a groomer, it's good karma. Barbara, what's new with you this week?
Oh, I had an interesting week, Susie. I had a bit of a crisis because my loyal assistant, Yvonne, had a family crisis and couldn't work. I really needed to give her the day off on Wednesday. And I had dogs booked, and there was no place to put them, so I couldn't cancel the day. And it so happened that just a couple of weeks ago, a former employee of mine that I had dismissed got in touch with me, went on Facebook, her first time on Facebook, found me, and asked me if I would be friends, and told me that she'd cleaned up and had been sober for 2 years, and was just working part-time, and she would love to reconnect, blah, blah, blah. And I had friended her and just exchanged a few words. Well, so here I needed a substitute bather, and this former bather was suddenly there, and I was able to call her and ask her if she could come in the next day. And she could, and she was so excited to come in the next day. And I was able to just take Yvonne off the hook and let her have the day to be with her family in crisis. So that was so cool. It was so auspicious that spirit just moved the universe to support me.
I love
it. You know, like, I love it when things work out like that. It was just amazing. It was just it was like good things happen to good people sometimes, you know?
Well, she obviously felt pretty strongly about you as a mentor, as so many of us do. And it's so cool that she reached out to you, first of all, to tell her that she had gotten her life together. But the timing is just amazing.
It was just amazing. It was just really cool. And it was fun to reconnect with her. And she remembered a lot of the dogs. And she said, what happened? How about this dog? How about that dog? You know? And so it was, we had a fun day, as well as, I got the job done. Now, you know, I had to kind of lower my expectations on that.
Right. I figure, because she hasn't worked for you for a long time.
5 years.
She's not been grooming dogs, right?
She's not been grooming dogs. No, she's been working like at Home Depot and, you know, doing clerical and checkout kind of work, which is what she does at retail, you know, and house cleaning.
Oh, house cleaning. Yay.
house cleaning, yay. Here, excuse Marco.
Well, he's excited, a house cleaner.
Yeah, Marco's excited because he's got a house cleaner coming in to pick up after him.
He just wants to be included in the fun.
He's just very energized because he had to stay home alone yesterday. And so today he's got extra energy to burn and I'm not participating.
Oh, boy. You're in trouble now.
He either wants to go and bark at the neighbors or be with me. So anyway, where was I? Oh, house cleaning. Yeah. Hey. Hallelujah, because it's not, I need to trust the person that comes in and cleans my house. And that is a deal breaker. I mean, I just cannot get any cleaning service because I am not, I leave money out. I've got medications out, you know, I can't.
Yeah. I understand totally. You know,
it's not just anybody can come in and clean my house. Plus, it's so damn bad that it's humbling and embarrassing and all of that. So here is someone that just like loves me unconditionally and does housework.
I need some support right now. That's cool.
Win.
Yeah.
Winners.
So you had another win this week. I understand you had a contact with a local listener.
Oh, yeah. I sold a bathing beauty. Yeah, Stephanie Sherman.
Excellent. Stephanie Sherman, and she's local?
She's local, and she's a listener. And that's how she, you know, like, it's so funny to connect with, I connect more with local groomers through the internet than I do through anything actually happening here locally. It's really funny. So she has, she's been grooming a few years and she just started a mobile unit and she just started listening to the Groom Pod about a month ago and she says it's made a huge difference to her.
That is so cool. That makes me feel really good.
Made me feel really good too. And then I have a little bit of a connection with a local groomer. So, hi, Stephanie. Thanks a lot for your purchase.
And thanks for listening. How awesome.
Listening, you know, that's so cool.
Yeah.
So what went on for, what was good for you this week?
Well, the sun has been out for 16 days now.
It's practically a record for Seattle.
I know. It's terrible. You can tell it's a record because we count how many days the sun has been out. Nobody else does that. You guys count how many days it rains. But I always forget it before this time of year, how long it takes me to dry dogs in the winter compared to how long it takes me to dry dogs in the summer.
Yeah.
I mean, it's 20 minutes off my time on a dog with a coat. It's considerable. It just is so humid here in the wintertime and just the air so saturated with water. So I've been rejoicing with that. Of course, now at 16 days at above 60 degrees and the last few of them at above 80 degrees, I'm complaining because it's too hot.
Oh,
I know it. But, you know, it gives us opportunity to wash the cars. And you were mentioning about the internet connecting you with local groomers. And we've got our Pacific Northwest Spring Fling Mobile Grooming Roundup coming on June 11th. And the fact is, I don't think it would have been nearly as successful. It wasn't in the early years without the internet connection that we all have with each other. And it's amazing. Use Facebook to connect with your local friends or even people you don't know yet, especially if you're mobile. Oftentimes we drive down the street and see a mobile we don't know, and we'll just take a picture of it and say, hey, are you on here in some of the bigger mobile groups? And then you can find local friends that way. It's such an asset for us. And it's so great to be able to get together with our pals and meet local groomers. And I didn't want to forget to mention that. And the other thing is I've got puppies coming out of the woodwork.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. People that haven't had dogs for years have picked up puppies. And I've just had a bunch of puppies. Yay for puppies. Yay! Cats and cats.
These are new. These are old people with new dogs.
Yeah, my favorite.
Oh, that's great.
Although, I did end up with a Pomsky. I don't know if I told you guys that.
No, a Pomsky.
Yeah. Who in their right mind did this one? This is one of those I can't even imagine. I thought it was a Pomeranian Eskimo. It is not.
What is it?
A Pomeranian Husky.
Oh, shoot.
Oh, why?
Why? That sounds like an accident given a name.
Well, maybe originally. The thing is, the University of Washington mascot is a Husky. When they use the mascot on the field, they use a Malamute because, you know, they expect people not to know the difference. So the mascot for the Huskies has been a Malamute the whole time, as long as I can remember. They're bigger to see on the football field.
Yeah.
But locally, people like Huskies because of that connection. But nobody really wants a Don't want to offend anybody. Nobody really wants a Husky because they don't really want to hang out with you all that often. They'd rather be out in the yard or chasing something or pulling something or digging something. You know, they're kind of one of those least connected with their owner.
Oh, they are least connected with their owner. They just want to head out.
Yes. So you're always walking them on a leash. They're not connected. They're not good at obedience. Their attention span does not include you. And then cross that with a yappy dog.
Oh,
a tiny yappy dog. And so the breeder for these, and these are my best tippers. This is my best tipper. So I'm thrilled that they have another dog. I mean, really thrilled that they got another dog because they used to have three and we're down to one. But I looked at this puppy and I kid you not, they told him that it would probably be 20 pounds. Well, you don't know it's going to be 20 pounds. You could get almost a full Husky out of the mix.
Right.
At the size of the feet on this dog, this is not a good sign. This dog it's beautiful. It has beautiful, you know, Husky markings, very much Husky fur, not Pomeranian fur, and gigantic feet. So I had to warn her, and we talked about it before they bought the puppy. I just had to warn her that this dog might be a little bigger than they're expecting, but holy crap. And then I've got one who has put 20,000 pictures of the puppy up on Facebook. I haven't been over there to meet the puppy. I think I'm going there next week. They keep saying it's a Maltese. It's brown and black. It's sable colored. And at what point do I just have to let it go? I mean, I've known these people for two dogs of their lifetime. This is dog number three. I don't know what to do. I don't know whether to go tell him or not to tell him, mind my own business, bite my tongue. I'm thinking it's a Havanese, and I'm thinking she didn't hear it correctly or never saw the name in writing or that these people are pulling the wool over their eyes. The dog is not a Maltese. It doesn't look anything like Maltese. Anyway, maybe Maltese is in there somewhere, but I don't know. I'm not seeing it. So
that can bite you. Telling the truth to people about their dog breed can bite you back. And I lost one customer because I just would not accept it as a, it was a big cockapoo and she was trying to say that it was a Kerry Blue Terrier or something, you know, and it just so wasn't. And
then throw on a now probably 15-year relationship with these people with their Lhasa, and
but if you have that kind, you know, like only you know really what kind of a relationship you have. I have some customers that I could easily
right.
You know, you've been. You've been had.
I think what I'll do is I'll feel the situation out when I get over to the house. I'll ask a few questions. Where'd you find the dog? Was there a breeder involved or is this an accidental something? Or did you find it at work or, you know, just word of mouth? You know, once I get that bit of like, if I find out they went to a breeder and this was sold as a papered Maltese or something, then we'll talk. But And we may talk eventually. I just don't know whether it'll be the first visit.
Yeah, it might not be the first visit.
Yeah, because it's been 3 years without a dog for them. Well, they got a lab, but they can wash the lab. So
it's been 3 years since you've seen them?
Yes, in person. I see them on Facebook.
Yeah, I definitely wouldn't bring it up first time if you haven't seen them in years, because there's no need to...
No benefit.
Yeah, no benefit. Right.
Right, no benefit. Okay, so it's time to talk about the webinar, Barbara. Let's talk about the webinar. We've got things happening here, people.
Yeah, I've reviewed the PowerPoint. I love my PowerPoint. I can't wait to share it and present it. And
the sign-ups are going very lively, right?
Sign-ups are coming in. It's lively. I feel alive.
One of the questions people have been asking is, if they cannot attend the live webinar, is there a way that they can see it after it's done?
Well, if everything goes well, now, barring technical difficulties beyond our control, everything goes smoothly, we'll have a nice recorded version that we can sell.
So if you can't be there right on time, then there's a way you can still enjoy the webinar. So that's pretty cool. And it is about coat damage. And it's like a very visual presentation.
You've seen it before. It's got pictures that I've collected over the years of hair damage and good hair. And we just talk a lot about how damage occurs and how we can minimize it and deal with it.
Yeah, and it's $39.95. And the way you sign up for it is you go to Barbara's shopping cart, which is www.shop.bbird.biz. And if you scroll down amongst the items, you will see the coat damage webinar pop up there. And you just click on that. And if you guys are international listeners, when it requires you to put in a shipping address, you can put in Barbara's address.
Which is on the front page of the shopping cart. So
yeah, there
it's right there. It's just like, you know, like up at the top of the shopping cart is my address. And so now it has good use for you. You can use it as your address if your address is international.
There you go. And the webinar will be June 4th at 11 a.m. Pacific Daylight Time. I believe that when you sign up and Barbara puts you on as a registrant, then it gives you the adjusted time for your time zone. But know that we're timing this on my time zone, which is Pacific Daylight Time right now. So that is that. Let's take a moment and hear from Best Shot. Best Shot, who is our fabulous sponsor and has all those wonderful products. And I must say, I made a faux pas last week. They have a Best Shot 1 whitening shampoo. I didn't realize it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, so now I've got to figure out when that came out and why I didn't know about it and check it out. So we'll hear from Best Shot. Then we're going to be back with our first appointment, which is speed versus perfection. You know, groomers, your salon runs on shampoo and conditioner, and what you choose to bathe with can make or break the quality of your work, productivity, your health, and even your career. Sure, there's a ton of shampoo lines to choose from, but if you haven't tried Best Shot's innovative systems, you may be working too hard. You owe it to yourself to check out bestshotpet.com. Discover firsthand why so many groomers rely on their trusted mastery of coat care chemistry. That's bestshotpet.com. Learn more about using their three-step system and how Best Shot mindfully formulates using advanced grooming technologies, combining the very best nature and science has to offer. Whether it's their three-step system, the one-shot odor annihilator, Ultramax Pro Line, MED skin treatments, or the amazingly aromatic and fun Sentiment Spa Collection, Best Shot has something tailored just for groomers that really works. For over 25 years, Best Shot has lived up to its claim to get dirty jobs done right, so you can start making masterpieces out of nightmares in record time. What are you waiting for? Contact your favorite distributor or catalog and get some Best Shot today. I love them.
Ready, groomers? Here comes our first appointment.
Barbara, speed versus perfection. This was a topic that you came up with. So what brought this topic to mind?
Our friend and listener, Hi Roseman, has a job at a big kennel. And he's talking to me about pricing and how long it takes and is this fair and so on and so forth. And actually what's happening is that, you know, there are a lot of jobs out there. There are grooming jobs where speed is what counts. Speed is what the employer wants. She wants, you make 50% and you're, the only way to make a decent living is to do a high volume of dogs. There's a lot of our profitability depends on volume. And I think that's very unfortunate. I think it's an unfortunate model in our industry because it promotes speed over perfection, and it lowers the bar of what is good enough.
I think the place that you see the most of that is in the boarding kennels, where they're trying to do boarding baths and push extra services, and they oftentimes don't have enough groomers to carry the load, and so they're always rushing. They do pay that smaller commission. Hopefully, things are changing in the industry in that respect.
Well, but, you know, if you're a groomer and you take pride in your work, and you are a, where you take perfection over time, and that's your brand,
right?
Hard to then fit into a job where your brand doesn't count. The company brand is high volume, cheap hair, you know.
You're financially punished by doing it the way you want to do it, by practicing the way you want to practice.
Yeah, because then you end up spending too much time for the amount of money that you make. So you actually have to make a choice. Do I sacrifice my standard of grooming in order to fit into the time that is profitable? Do I do this in an hour or do I do it in 2 hours?
Another place where that has a tendency to show its ugly head is in the veterinary grooming industry, because the veterinary groomers don't really make the hospital anything. So it just ends up being a volume churning kind of a thing. But you can always make it what you want in a, to a certain extent, like pick and choose what to focus on, where your perfection really counts the most, right?
Right. And that's another tricky element. In these kind of situations, boarding kennel grooming and veterinary work, where you, the groomer, don't have any interaction with the customer, you don't know what the customer considers good enough.
Good point.
You don't, because I've got customers that absolutely know the value that I am. And I've got customers that come to me because I'm the closest.
They're very different. And you find that out through conversations with them, because you pick up things like stylist instead of dog bath, or, you know, there's just subtle things that happen in the conversation that you miss when you're at the vet hospital or the boarding kennel and you don't get to do that intake conversation.
Yeah, well, here, I've got a good example from last week. This was a funny example. I took in a new dog, and I knew it was going to be a summer cut. I knew it was going to be a short clip. But she arrives, and this is a little shaggy, bingy mix, right? I don't know what. Little cream-colored female dog, you know, about 15 pounds. And she had shaggy hair and a beard and all of this. And the woman says, and a kind of a nice-looking woman, middle-aged, says, she's just a dog. We just take it all off every 4 months or so. Well, it looked more like 6 or 8 months, but I didn't say that. And, you know, and I just buttoned my lip because, you know, I don't even like to do that kind of work. But I had accepted the appointment because she called right after somebody else canceled an appointment for that day. And in order to make my money, I just said, okay, I'll slip this one in, you know? Okay. So she says, and it got worse.
Uh-oh.
It got worse because not only did she want a shortcut, she wanted a very shortcut, take off the ears and the face.
Oh, boo hiss.
Oh, boo hiss. All she wanted was the little bottle brush at the end of the tail.
That's like removing all of the mojo that... Oh,
I know.
Bummer.
This was a cute little girl and...
Oh, that's so sad.
It was so sad. So I took her down with a 7-blade on the clipper vac. So, you know, that was, you know, and I did some reverse clipping. We'll talk about that. And, I mean, it took me like 15 minutes to clip her down. And then Yvonne gave her a quick bath, 5 minutes, and then she cage dried. And then I did a little bit of touch up. And so the woman came to, and so I had kind of figured that this was some people that didn't have it together.
Right.
I made a judgment. Well, the woman came to pick up the dog. She was very happy. And she said, well, we've got our new groomer for life.
Oh, shit.
And I said, what? You know why?
Why?
Because she liked my bumper stickers.
Oh, that's awesome. Nothing about the grooming at all.
Well, I did what she asked.
Well, that is the most important thing.
I mean, I said, your bald dog is ready.
You did not.
I did.
Oh, no.
Your bald dog is ready. So it turns out, I got Hillary sticker on my car, and I've got, I got kind of equality stuff, you know,
girl power.
I got a little bit of this and that. And she says, my husband and I are both high school teachers.
Really?
And she, my husband and I are both high school teachers. Boy, that just slammed my brain, you know. I had to do a fast adjustment. So she liked my liberal, you know, and that's the only place where I really kind of express myself politically is on my car.
Right.
Because, I don't really talk about it much on Facebook. I mean, I just don't want to alienate my friends that might have different political beliefs because it's so divisive. And I just don't want to separate myself. I love all my friends and I want it to stay that way. So I don't get too much into it, but very funny that you see now I know exactly what she wants. And you know what? It might only be 3 times a year, but it's easy money and it's nice people and they're high school teachers, you know?
Yeah.
So it's fine. So,
but you'd have never known that had you not had that conversation and seen them pick their dog up.
Right. If I hadn't had the conversation, I probably would have really agonized over the whole grooming, you know. As it was, I was so clear what she wanted. I just went to work with my clipper back and just zipped her off, you know, didn't get personally identified with that groom at all.
Right, but provided exactly the service she wanted.
Yeah.
That's cool.
But I sure wouldn't want to do that every day. You know, like that's just not the place for me.
That
you know,
would be
like,
wasting your artistic talent.
There's some groomers that are fine with being supercuts.
And yeah, okay, then let's talk about me and my situation. Okay. So what works best for me, and of course I'm mobile, which takes off the time. I mean, I have personally taken the time element off the table. I can take as long as I want. I can get as behind as I want. I've got everybody trained for that. But in the bigger picture, my area of expertise, the area in which I feel I do the most benefit for animals that I'm working on, is special needs and aggressive dogs. Now, there's a point at which being quick with a dog that has a time limit or a cat that has a time limit is a skill in its own self. And so oftentimes I get forced to go into the speed over the perfection aspect of it. And for the most part, since I'm dealing with people's pets who their concern is not necessarily the haircut, but is way more the comfort for the animal, I get a break, thank goodness, in the perfection thing. Although I do take a lot of time with all of these special needs dogs. It's really necessary to take the time, and it takes the pressure off of me. It makes it so that I'm not pressuring them. So it is a different situation. I did work at the vet hospital, though, where we were churning out dogs. But luckily, I was in charge of my pricing, so I was able to price appropriately, because a lot of these folks don't get to do that.
Right. I can do some really quick grooming if necessary. I think speed is a good thing. I am glad that I was forced to develop speed. And actually, where I was forced was the 6 months when I was a mobile. Because I wasn't my own mobile. I was an employee of a franchise mobile, and they had no idea of how, you know. And that was funny, because the other groomers resented me because I was perfection and not speed. And it got to be difficult for the employer, because customers started requesting me because I was perfection and not speed. And then that made logistically, and so I was ending up going from one end of the county to the other, because these people had requested me, and it was hard logistically on the, what would you call that person that assigns the work, you know?
Dispatcher.
The dispatcher. Good, you got the word. But working there where I had an hour and 15 minutes to groom any dog, and 15 minutes to get to my next stop, I learned to groom faster than I was comfortable. And I think that you almost always have to be pushed through the eye of the needle to get that kind of speed, because it's not comfortable. It's not comfortable to say, this isn't good enough, this isn't good enough, I don't like this, you know. And but I'm glad today that I've got that. I had to pull that out on Friday. At the end of Friday, the afternoon dogs got bunched up, and I had to go fast. And I did. I finished a schnauzer in 20 minutes.
When you've been under the gun like that enough times, it becomes natural. But what do you do if you're trapped in high situation where you're going to be struggling all day long against your desire to be creative and perfection? There's ways you can combat that, isn't there? Like, for instance, you could choose one dog out of your day to give that perfection to.
I work that way. Even when there's two dogs, sometimes I do a more perfect job. But if there's two dogs and I do more time consuming, more perfection work on one of them, the next time I'll do the other one first.
Yeah, and you can always tell when you blow them out.
Yeah. So you can always tell when you blow them out which one you did. Well, but being a perfectionist can be a trap. There's a difference between seeking excellence and being a perfectionist.
Yeah, I kind of slide more into the realistic area. I'm a realist.
I kind of am a seeking excellence person. And it's easier for me to let it go when I have to. But a perfectionist person is compelled.
And it can become a real time suck.
It can become a real time suck. And you just don't always have that kind of luxury to do that. So it just may be that this is a misplay. I think that Hy Roseman is in a cusp in his own professional development, where he started out in one place and he acquired a clientele that kind of fit his level of skills. But now his own expectations have risen to a point where he wants to brand himself as, you know. So what I suggested to Hy was that he brand himself as the best barber. Best.
Oh, I love that. That's pretty cool. That's it. You know, branding is really helpful. It helps the client understand where your focus is.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah. There's a niche for everybody.
Oh, and that's for sure.
You know, and you just need to start marketing where quality makes a difference, you know, and then people for whom quality makes a difference will select you.
Yep, they'll find you.
That's what I've done.
Yes.
They find me and they refer me. And I'm at the point now where I get more new business word of mouth than anything else.
I can imagine. I mean, that's exclusively where I get it, other than the people that I took from Danielle. It's always word of mouth. I like it that way. I have a little better control. It doesn't all hit me at once.
I had a walk-in. Oh, Susie, I didn't share this earlier on. I've forgotten it because I had to.
Mental blocked it out.
You know, my mural.
Oh, yeah, the mural.
The mural is attracting walk-ins.
I bet, because it's amazing. You guys, I put one of the pictures up, but I didn't put both of the pictures up because I didn't want to tip off where the mural was. But man, that thing is so cool.
Isn't that cute?
I love it.
So anyway, three people walked in and one person was carrying this matted. You couldn't even tell it was a dog, this lump of fur. This was a Shih Tzu that had casts for legs, and you know.
I know.
It looked like it was a rescue and hadn't been groomed in 2 years, and I refused to. I opted out.
That sounds like a good idea.
You know, I sent them away. Theoretically, I might have had time, but you know what? There's no relationship with those people. The dog is subject to injury during clipping.
They're obviously not going to come back on a regular schedule.
Clearly, they have no commitment to the dog, or, you know, they're just doing it out of, like, total humiliation.
Yeah.
And I just didn't want to be the one. I didn't need the money bad enough. And the red flags were more than the green flags.
You know? Yep.
The red flags outnumbered the green flags. And I said, sorry, I just don't have any time at all.
Did you take the other walk-ins?
I haven't. Well,
I mean, did you schedule them?
Sometimes I do. Yeah. Sometimes I do schedule them but they rarely come back.
Oh.
You know, my price isn't that nice for them.
Right. And walk-ins are just a unique breed anyway.
I kind of would like to be a little bit more of a part of my neighborhood, but not really. Not really when I look at the extended neighborhood, yes, but the immediate walking, nah.
Well, so. I love the murals anyway. I think that.
But I do love the mural, and my customers are loving the mural. It just really brightens the whole look, and what I want to do now is take the picture of the mural and put it with my Yelp And
yeah, good idea. Then people will be able to identify you with that. Cool, man. Okay, let's take a break here from South Bark Professional Pet Products, and then we will be back to answer Susie's question, what is shea butter, for our definition du jour. Groomers, we all know that the first thing doggy moms and dads do when they pick up their beautifully coiffed babies from us is they go in for a cuddle, right? That first cuddle is so important because it gives them the opportunity to really enjoy their freshly groomed and sweet-smelling pups. Well, our friends over at South Bark Professional Pet Products have a new item that's sure to bring a smile to all of those pet parents and groomers, too. South Bark, as you know, is the originator of the now famous South Bark's Blueberry Facial. They are located in sunny San Diego, California, where founders Lisa Vella and Donna Walker, also known as the Blueberry Girls, operate a dog wash and consumer pet store, as well as a wholesale distribution center. These amazing ladies have come up with an entirely new product that really has us here at the Groom Pod excited. It's a foaming cleanser with a fabulous new fragrance. It smells like blueberries and coconut, two of my personal favorite smells. I can't wait to try it. It's good for slobber mouth, goober eyes, and strategic stinkiness. The real neat thing is that you don't have to rinse it out. And to top it off, it's a foam, so it's extra safe for using around the eyes. You know how much Barbara and I love foam for faces. South Bark's Blueberry Coconut Pet Foam comes in a generous 8.5-ounce foamer and is safe for use on dogs, cats, puppies, and kittens. This is sure to be a favorite in shops as a retail item or in the bathing room for pre-washing faces and loosening those eye boogies. If you would like more information or to place an order, you can go to the website www.southbarkprofessionalpet.com or you can call them at 1-877-232-2235. And remember to look for the Blueberry Girls and their products at many of our grooming trade shows and seminars.
The definition du jour.
All right, Barbara, this is all about me because I love the smell of shea butter and I love the feel on my hands after I use it. And I think I like the way it works in the shampoos, but I really don't know anything about shea butter. So teach me.
When you say you love the way it smells, shea butter kind of smells weird, Susie.
Does it?
Yeah, I'm wondering whether you have a refined shea butter or something. Well, so shea butter has a great narrative. We love ingredients that have a narrative, and shea butter, it comes from the karité tree in West Africa. Well, Africa. But it goes back to the days of the Egyptians.
Oh my.
It really has a deep history. That shea butter has been used forever as a skin emollient and for hair care. But it's a pretty hard, waxy substance. The interesting thing that I learned is that true nut butters are very similar to oils, like argan oil. And in fact, I found an argan butter.
Really?
Yes.
Huh.
Which I might incorporate. I got into the shea butter thing.
Oh, cool.
Sitting in my shelf in the aromatherapy room, I have a pound jar of refined shea butter. Now, when they refine it, it becomes white rather than yellow, and it has no odor.
Okay. Is it solid?
It's still solid. Yep. Okay. It's solid. It's a fairly hard butter. Shea butter is a fairly hard butter. It doesn't, I guess it has a high melting point, we would say. Although it does melt into the skin. Okay, so it doesn't stay hard. I mean, it absorbs into the skin very readily. My own experience with shea butter was that when I was a drummer, when I was playing hand drums, the African drum teachers would have unrefined shea butter, and we'd go to drum camp and our fingers would split and bleed and everything, and they would sell us chunks of the shea butter. And we would come home with a bag of shea butter, like for $5. It wasn't even very expensive, but it had a very distinct smoky kind of odor.
Oh, maybe I'm not smelling it. You're right. Maybe it's some other smell in there.
Yeah, it must be some other smell in there. It's not a real attractive odor. I mean, we loved it, but partly we loved it because we got it from the Africans for our hands playing the drums.
Right.
You know,
it's a circumstance.
It was all part of our, you know, like, it was all a part of playing the drums, the African drums.
Right.
But you have the African stuff for your hands. And it helped a lot. It worked, you know.
I think it makes my hands feel nice.
It does, and it softens and moisturizes the skin, and it should be good for your splits that you get so easily.
Okay.
It should be very good. I'm psyched now on the shea butter, and I think that I'm going to make some lotion, I'm going to use deodorant jars.
Okay.
Deodorant things, and I'm going to make a shea butter, maybe with some argan butter. I'm going to mix something. I also, Susie, found hemp seed butter. But now I learn my essential, where I get a lot of my essential oils for my aromatherapy, they have a whole page of butters.
Interesting. And what makes a butter a butter?
So that's a good question, because there are true butters and there are, it's not going to be synthesized, but there's some.
Assisted?
Yeah. So let me read about the, I'll read how the hemp seed butter is. So the shea butter is true butter. The nuts are crushed and melted and strained, and then they have a butter. Nuts result in a butter. It's like peanut butter is true from the peanuts, right?
Right, and nowadays they've got the almond butter and the cashew butter. Okay, so that makes sense.
Yeah. So the refined shea butter can either be, it can be refined in a couple of ways. You want to look for where there's where they don't use chemicals to remove the impurities. The refined shea butter that I get is from Ghana. It's cold expeller pressed and carbon treated to remove the impurities. So it hasn't been treated with chemicals at all. It's not solvent extracted.
Right, it's more mechanical extraction.
It's mechanically extracted. There are no impurities left whatsoever, and this butter is almost odorless. Okay, now the hemp seed butter is produced using the fatty fractions and unsaponifiables, natural waxes and paraffins, which are collected during the refining process, which are then blended with hydrogenated vegetable oil to produce a butter-like material suitable for use in cosmetics and toiletries.
So in that case, it's more of a description of its property rather than the where it came from.
Well,
right?
It's been made into a butter by the hydrogenated vegetable oil.
Okay.
See, okay.
It's more created than it is, than extracted.
Yeah, but it's created with natural stuff. It's not It's not like it's created by a chemical reaction.
Right.
It's mixed. It's created as in mixing it with
like a formula.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, ingredients. Okay, I get it.
So that's the difference between some of the butters, that some butters are natural butters and some butters are what we might call refined creations, okay?
Okay.
Shea butter, why we like shea butter. So shea butter is high in oleic acid. We may remember that that was one of the things that we really liked about argan oil.
And olive oil, right?
And olive oil, right.
Okay.
Good memory. The high in oleic acid, which makes for deeply moisturizing, true moisturizing property. Shea butter is also high in stearic acid, which is, that's what makes it hard butter, hard.
Oh.
Stearic acid you would put in soaps to make them more hard, or in but it's naturally high in stearic acid. And incidentally, stearic acid is found in the protective layer of the human skin, the acid mantle.
Okay.
And then to a lesser extent, it contains the linoleic acid. That's another one that's a good moisturizer. It contains naturally vitamins A and E. That's good to see because the vitamin E tocopherols, they're antioxidant. So that helps your shea butter have a good shelf life.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah, so that's nice. I don't know how shea butter is made into a shampoo. Is that what you have as a shampoo with shea butter? I wonder how they do that.
I don't know.
Oh, I understand how shea butter can be melted and used in a lotion or a cream or an oil-based product. I don't understand how a true butter is made water-soluble.
I can't tell you what's in the ingredients.
What is the product?
Nature's Specialty Shazam.
Oh, we'll never know.
That's right. That's why I'm asking you. All I know is it says it has some, it also has argan oil in it, but who knows, you know, in what fairy dust amounts either one of these things are in there. All I know is that when I use it, it really leaves the hair soft and nice. And it is one of those, they're sulfate-free shampoos. So, you know, we were talking about that last week a little bit. But yeah, so there you go. Scold me.
Oh, well.
Okay. Naughty Susie, bad girl. So we will never know.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, I just like the way the shampoo performs. I had never used it before. And when I started looking around to see what they were promoting it as, they are promoting it as a shea butter shampoo.
Yeah, and I know that shea butter is a key component in show season's Groomer's Mud. Mud is a hand cream in a jar. It has like a 20% shea butter. You know, shea butter products can be rather expensive, which is silly because shea butter isn't very expensive.
Is it a friendly to harvest ingredient?
I mean, is it an earth-friendly thing?
Yes.
I think so because there sure is plenty of it.
Okay.
It's a nut. It's a produced by the tree that you just take the nuts.
Right. And then the tree keeps growing. So it's
keeps growing and, you know, yeah.
Yeah. So that's renewable.
Very renewable. Very much renewable. And it promotes African economy.
Well, we're all for that. Anytime you can help the lesser economies have a product, I think it's a good thing.
Yeah.
As long as it doesn't wreck the environment.
Yeah, no, I don't think this does, and I don't think that they're not burning down any rainforest to it's a naturally found tree.
Good.
They don't have to destroy anything to plant it and stuff like that. It's plentiful. I did learn that the composition of shea butter can vary from tree to tree and from region to region. Well, that makes sense because that's true with essential oils too. That, you know, the soil conditions, the rain conditions, the amount of sunlight, all of that, the altitude, all of that affects everything that's grown.
Right. It's still a crop. It's going to be affected by the environment that it grows in and that the water it gets and the food and all that stuff.
So when you're buying, especially if you're buying unrefined shea butter, it can be yellow. It can be yellowy green, greenish yellow. It can have more or less of an odor.
Well, I'll be interested to see how your little experiment goes.
I want to make something for us and, you know, and something, and it just occurs to me that if I give it away, if I come up with something that, you know, I'll give it away even randomly with shopping in my shopping cart.
Oh, that's fun.
Then I don't have to worry about having it be real professionally labeled or anything. You know, it can be just really very, very much a home creation.
I love it when you send surprises to me. I'm almost out of the anti-anxiety aromatherapy mix you sent to me last time. And I have holes in my socks that you sent me. Holes in my socks.
Oh!
Yep. I finally put it on and I was like, you know, I think this is the last wearing. For one of them is worse than the other.
And you have really worn those socks.
I did.
Honored.
Oh, they were fabulous. That was
I love it when a gift fits.
Oh, it fits. Oh, speaking of gifts fitting, how did the pillow presentation go? Did you present the pillow, the beautiful pillow you got from Etsy? What was on the pillow? I can't remember what was on the pillow.
It was a corgi.
Oh, a corgi. That's right.
She was so taken aback. She sent us a thank you note. She comes from my mother's generation. Jesus, my mother used to try to get me to write thank you notes. I resisted that shit.
I think we all did.
Oh, my God, I resisted.
I did it, though. I bet you did it, too, eventually. Wrote those damn thank you notes. It's nice to get a physical thank you note.
I know. Now I wish I could apologize to my mother for how much I resisted that stuff. You know?
Yes, I do. Stupid thank you notes were like pulling teeth for me. Oh, my gosh.
So what else do we have? Are we done?
We're done with shea butter, but we are going to go to our At the Table segment, which is about reverse clipping. If you're enjoying the Groom Pod and all the good things that happen here, and you want to help us continue to grow, consider doing your shopping at Amazon through our Amazon banner on the website. It won't cost you anything more, and the Groom Pod will get a percentage of your sale. This is by far the best way to help us pay for the show. Just go to our website, www.thegroompod.com, scroll to the bottom, and click on the Amazon ad. Then do your shopping as usual. We really appreciate each and every one of you guys who's been shopping at the Groom Pod's website. Thank you very much. Let's see what's happening at the grooming table. You mentioned that you'd done some reverse clipping. I as well have done some reverse clipping. I did one of my more challenging cats. And oftentimes I use, for his summer cut, we use a 7-blade. And just to get rid of those uneven marks, I will reverse clip them away. And that's the way I use it mostly. And I also yesterday did a Cocker Spaniel that I take all of his hair off in a very tight field cut. And I reverse on him as well. Those are two of the instances where I do it. But somebody was asking on Facebook whether it actually damages the hair. And I could not think of how it would, but I thought that we could start a discussion with asking you, does reverse clipping damage the hair or redirect its growth pattern?
No.
Well, that's it. Thanks for joining us here on the group.
Allow me to explain.
Please do.
Growth pattern of the hair is established deeper in the hair follicle than just at the surface there, or okay. how it comes out of the skin, right? And so it's determined before the hair sees the light of day. And so reverse clipping, unless the possible exception would be if you rough up the skin and damage the skin in some unfortunate way, any damaging of the skin can damage the hair, but it really shouldn't have any negative effect on hair growth or growth pattern. Although, you know, what we haven't ever been able to get to the bottom of is the extent to which any kind of close clipping affects regrowth of the hair, of what type of hair. I mean, because there are some times when hair doesn't grow back right. I mean, even Cocker Spaniels that are repeatedly clipped, there are sometimes in older Cocker Spaniels, you can just see that it's icky regrowth. It's not nice hair anymore. And of course, there are the famous, unfortunate instances where double-coated breed hair doesn't come in very well. So there's times when clipping itself has effects, but reverse clipping doesn't seem to have any greater effect than clipping with the grain. And what it does, though, is it really can even out the clipper result, the clipping result. So it's very effective on close clipping cocker hair.
Oh my gosh, I couldn't do without it.
It just comes out so velvety and nice. And it can take a little bit longer, actually.
You know, it does.
I've got a couple of cockers that I have to just like take down because he just doesn't bring them in enough. And when I have the time, I like to do them with reverse. And I often use reverse clipping to just clean up areas and to do like around the hock bone and like that. Yeah, where there's sticky outies or if there's kind of unevenness. I did reverse clipping cleanup on that shaved dog that they loved.
I think that's exactly what I do because I always go over the dog regular direction first. Always take the bulk of the hair off regular direction first. Rarely do I ever actually just start out ripping backwards up the coat. I usually remove the bulk of the coat and then I take where I need to make it even out and look nicely. So cleaning up is a way better way to describe what I'm doing with reverse clipping, especially with the cats. The cats, it's strictly just to make it look smooth.
Yeah, well, yeah. I like to do, how long does it take you to clip a cat?
10 minutes.
Yeah, me too. 10 to 15 minutes.
Yep. Here's a funny story. So this is a notoriously nasty cat. His name is Gizzy, and he's a Persian, and he has had a few refusals from some of the local grooming shops. So I have Dad come out with me. Dad's a tough, burly truck driver kind of guy, and he loves this cat like crazy. Last time, Gizzy, who only has nails in the back, got me through the finger because Dad was not paying attention. So this time I was paying a little more attention to what Dad was doing. And doggone it, the cat nailed him twice, bit him twice. Didn't touch me, though. He was very good. He did what he was supposed to. Although after watching him, he could have been a little more careful with the way he was holding his head. But I was never put at risk for even 1 second. So I'm grateful for that. But doggone it, he was not a clotter. I don't know if he was on Coumadin or something, but there was a fair amount of blood from poor Gizzy's dad.
You know, Susie, I have gloves that I have the people wear.
I don't have gloves. This is the only cat that I would need them with. I mean, that last time was a rarity. And they can drug this cat. I just tell them not to because it didn't really seem to help. Where do I get the gloves? They have them on Amazon, amazon.com, where you can go to our website, www.thegroompod.com, click on the Amazon banner and support the show. Do they have them there?
Yeah.
Okay. What am I looking for?
Welder gloves.
Welder gloves. And they make it so you can still hold the cap pretty well?
Oh, yeah. They're pliable leather. You know, they cost about $12. If you get animal handling gloves, they're going to cost you $75. You know, so welder gloves. And I was even lucky somewhere along the line, and I've lost the locate. I found female welder gloves. So I've got a pair of welder gloves that are a little bit smaller for women. And for myself, I bit the bullet and bought the gauntlet.
Is that where you don't have fingers?
That's where there's no fingers. So you.
That's what I want.
That's what you need.
Okay.
You should not be grooming any cats without, you know, like, I don't.
Well, I wear a jacket. It's 80 degrees. I had my jacket on. I didn't want to get scratched.
Get yourself, you know, treat yourself to some gauntlet gloves.
All right. Lesson learned.
And get a pair of welder gloves for the man. He's a bleeder, for Christ's sake.
God, I didn't know. It's usually me getting cut. He's a trooper, though. He's a really cool guy. I don't mind going over there and messing with his poor cat. And every time we take the cat's hair off, he's much nicer to the owners. So they're grateful that I'll even do it since he's been booted.
Yeah, you know, some cats really appreciate being clipped down. I've heard this so many times. You let me pet him.
Yes, no. They enjoy being touched.
They enjoy being touched after they're groomed. They have a whole other personality that comes out. Yeah, no, I've heard this from cat owners.
Yeah, well, cool. Okay, well, that's going to wrap it up because we have hit past an hour as usual. Not that that is any surprise to these two girls here because we know we can talk. So I do want to remind you guys, go to Barbara's website, shop.beaver.biz, to find the registration for the webinar that's taking place June 4th at 11 Pacific Standard Time in the morning. And it's $39.95. It's coat damage. It's very visual. We want you guys to be there with us. And most importantly, it is the first in a series of webinars that we're going to put out for you all. Barbara's very excited about it. And I just love being there to support her. It's so awesome. I mean, finally, I can give a little back to the person who gives me so much. So there you go. Thanks for joining us this week on the Groom Pod. Barbara, do you want to say anything?
No, I'm just real excited about next week. And this is one of my favorite presentations. So let's all be there.
All right, cool. Thanks for listening, guys. We'll see you next week on the Groom Pod and then at the webinar. Bye-bye now.
Bye. Bye, groomers. Bye, Susie.
Well, stylists, it's time to sweep up the hair, clean out the tub, and turn out the lights on another episode of the Groom Pod. Remember to join the discussion group and be part of the show by liking us on Facebook at The Groom Pod. You can find Barbara online at groomblog.blogspot.com and at her shopping site, www.shop.bbird.biz. You can email me at Susie, S-U-S-Y, at thegroompod.com or Barbara at barbara@thegroompod.com. Please tell all your friends about the show and leave comments and reviews anywhere that you can. And also, please support the sponsors of the show. They make it possible for us to continue on. So on behalf of Barbara Bird and myself, thanks for listening and see you real soon.